hallway. You may be seated. I think they heard that Nabilin just now. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The world is not that joyous at this time. And of course, that's one reason that we're here. We're here to help. And we're the only ones that have the answer to these problems. But praise Yahweh. And there's the big work starting, getting ready to start. But public schools, new violence against teachers, it says. During a dance at Gwen Park High School, a Brandywine, Maryland, in Brandywine, Maryland, an assistant principal had his throat slashed by a former student, a sixth grader. Teachers at the first at the East St. Louis, Illinois school system have become so terrified, says the school board president, that 3 out of 4 are carrying guns to the classes. 3 out of 4 teachers now. they're that scared, and of course they're allowing this, but as Barack Obama says, all this is going to do is lead to more violence, and they have no solutions. They say they plainly say this here in this article. A new wave of violence is sweeping U.S. classrooms. The incidents of burglary, larceny, assault, and even murders is rising in all public schools. More and more teachers are quitting their jobs out of sheer fear of their students. Chicago teachers were attacked 1,065 times last year, an eightfold rise in 5 years. During the same period, student assaults increased by 500% in Philadelphia school system, which recorded 116 incidents last year. New York City reported 180. San Francisco elementary school students attacked their teachers 83 times. One teacher, it says, in Washington, D.C., for example, one elderly woman teacher was kicked in the shin so severely that several operations were required to remove blood clots in her legs. Yet instead of upholding her, the principal labeled her a troublemaker. It seems so ridiculous, but this is this came from Time magazine, by the way. Time and CNN. At present, the so-called solutions are grim, inadequate, if not absurd. Many big city slum schools have installed special lighting, hidden microphones, burglary alarm systems. New York City policemen often patrol their beat inside the schools. Keep from getting beat up outside, I guess. It is that bad. The next article shows that it's not just here, it's all over the world. This one, representatives of the International Middle East Quartet. Now, this is very interesting what's taking place here because of the quartet being mentioned in prophecy. Right here on this school, of course, we have the answers. There's not a quick fix for this problem, and we'll see this in the scriptures too. But it took a long time to get to this, but it's in Yahweh's plan, of course. To not only straighten it out, but to keep it straightened out after that. And, of course, to show you how you can keep from being deceived and getting into the same trap that the world is in right now with no solutions. Carrying guns to schools, not a solution. Putting the people in jail is not a solution. Putting the prophet that tells them they're wrong is not a solution. Putting him in jail won't solve their problems. It's the only thing that's going to solve their problems is repentance, of course, and then start teaching this to everyone from childhood up and forcing it. I know the apartment dwellings that we've had people already asking for the peaceful solution because to require their tenants to take this program. And they was having all kinds of trouble at these apartment dwellings, and we had people that were living there, and they told the owners, and they said, let's try it. So they required their tenants to take this class, and right away the problems started straightening themselves out. And yes, praise Yahweh. Great results in prisons and schools, apartment dwellings, communities. But this is totally a different thing now. This is back to the time period we're in, of course, in the quartet. It says representatives of the International Middle East Quartet, the European Union, Russia, United Nations, and the United States met in Brussels yesterday to discuss a new U.S. plan to restart peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians. U.S. Middle East envoy George Mitchell and quartet envoy Tony Blair attended the meeting. In an interview earlier this week, Mitchell said the U.S. was pushing for a two-year time frame for a peace accord. News reports suggest Washington hopes to secure an agreement before the end of this year on the borders of a Palestinian state. Egypt's plans for resumption of peace talks include a complete halt of Israel's settlement building, followed by a meeting between Egyptian and Israeli officials prior to the start of the first phase of negotiations, which should include reviving the Oslo Accords. And that, of course, is what we're looking for in prophecy, too. Now, of course, this is the long-term effects of what we're facing today. This article has to do with that and how mankind has gotten himself in this confused state to where he absolutely has no answers now to no solutions for his problems. And it starts with HIV infection primarily ages the brain. Now, of course, we told the world this several years ago that STDs is causing your problems, that it causes confusion. Well, now Science Today actually comes out with this and shows how the infection, HIV itself, primarily ages the brain and starts slowing it down. It says HIV infection or the treatments used to control it are primarily aging the brain. Researchers at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis and University of California, San Diego, have found blood flow in the brains of HIV patients is reduced to levels normally seen in uninfected patients 15 to 20 years older. So you can see how it's actually slowing the brain's thinking. And of course, if you can't think, it's hard to come up with a solution for anything. What they don't know too is, and I would that I could, I would that I had the material here today, I'd read this, but what takes place, the action in the brains, and I saw this in Scripture years ago and started hunting it. But the relations that we have with the animals. Now, this, along with the illegal relations we have with men with men, women with women, and so forth, that it's a shame to speak of, but it's here, and it's here most prominently now, and they're having more trouble with it than ever before. But the animals, the infections that we get there, which are now scattered throughout the human race, throughout everyone in the world, that's the reason you're seeing so much birth defects now. It is everyone in the world. Every baby born now has a defect of some kind, some more, some less. And of course, the obvious ones, they're running out of places to put them. The state schools have no more fundings to enlarge their schools, so they're asking the parents to let them pay them to keep them at home. The only ones that seem like they're taking is the ones that have the big money and actually have political control too. But it's getting that bad. But when this takes place in the body, then it moves to the brain. Then the scripture describes it as a beast attitude. The person develops a character, a beastly character, to where, you know, you're like a raging bull that is ready to fight wave a red flag at him and he's ready to go. He has no common sense, you know. He can't understand that the dangers of these swords with the men that's waving the red flag, if you've ever seen a bullfight, that he is going to die from their shiny swords that they will stick in him when he runs at them. He doesn't even have enough sense to know that he's running at the rag instead of the man. This is the confusion that the scripture shows that mankind has gotten himself into. A beastly character where he's full of aggression, but kind of like the bull standing on the railroad facing the oncoming train, you know. People admire his courage, you know, like the big fighters, but they question their ability a little bit. he's going to get his head smashed when that train hits him, but he doesn't have sense enough to know it. Well, this is what we've got ourselves into here with these relations of mankind, but also relations with beasts. We're changing man into a beastly system. HIV infections, the blood flow, it says, in the brain of HIV patients is reduced to levels normally seen in uninfected patients 15 to 20 years older. Prior studies of HIV infections, long-term health effects have found the virus may adversely affect the heart, liver, endorphin system, skeleton, kidney. A recent study of the overall health of the body found that HIV infection advances the body's age by about 10 years. HIV can lead to dementia. Now, that is the brain problem that's obvious. When you get that one, when you get that started in your brain, then everyone knows it. In some patients, we believe the virus closes into the brain crosses into the brain using infected immune cells instead affecting supporting cells that can release immune factors that harm the neurons. Brain blood flow valves are significantly reduced in subjects with HIV. Reduction decreases brain blood flow to levels roughly uninfected individuals 15 to 20 years older. When scientists asked patients to perform a visual task, participants with HIV had greater blood flow increases, suggesting that the brain and its support system had to work harder to get the task done. Researchers also found that HIV reduced brain blood flow even among young, recently infected patients, reinforcing earlier results that they previously published. Well, we can see how the STDs now, without any doubt, we can see how Yahweh said that this is causing our problem. If you are not up on that, read, of course, Leviticus 18. But there's something else that there's something here that is that's taking place physically in the body that's also causing people to reject anything holy, all holiness. Yahweh showed that in a certain time period that they would attack everything that is holy, all holiness, whether it wherever it is. And of course, this article about in France where they're fighting against the veils. The veils, it's been proven to cut down on the STDs, the sickness and disease. Now I'm thinking what's causing this, though, in the minds of the people. I'm believing that it's the pork. And the more I study about this and find out what is taking place with the pork and everything, there's several hundred different portions of a pig. They use everything now. But the many things that each portion of the pig, the swine does, the reactions it has in chemistry, is shown in chemistry, the reactions to the different parts of your body. I'm believing now that the swine and the consumption of the swine meat actually has something to do with the rejection of Yahweh's word, Yahweh's holiness, somewhere or another. I haven't pinned it down yet, but I think Yahweh is going to show it to me. But trying to fight against this veil for women, and they're claiming that the women are being forced into this. The women are fighting against it, even single women, fighting their government there, like we see the governments are being fought here in the United States, where they're coming against people. Now, I don't know, probably nothing holiness about this, but a lot of unholiness is the thing in Arizona, where they're wanting to run certain people of certain color out of their land. And you know, on the one hand, they have the Statue of Liberty, which is supposed to, have that in the United States. And on the other hand, they want them out of what they call their country. Of course, it's not their land at all, but they're claiming it as theirs and no trespassing. And a 100 years from now, you would find out who it really belonged to if you had that long to wait. But well, this started. I want you to go back to Genesis, and I'm going to try to get in another point here, especially about deception and how Yahweh actually made the human body to fulfill a position. And what we're going through and what we have gone through, he set it up this way so we could experience this. And then, of course, the ones that choose his way and humble themselves and submit to the one sent, prophesied to be sent, then they will have their part in his kingdom. The others that won't, and there will be many that won't, according to the scriptures, they will have their part in the lake of fire, Yahweh said. Now we know that Cain killed Abel, and we know there's some reason for him killing Abel, some reason for him developing this nature of a vicious, brutal attitude towards his brother, who would not hurt him or anyone else, who wouldn't even sin. He was guarding himself even against sin. But Abel was part of Yahweh's plan, and of course he allowed Abel to be killed, and before there was any reproduction from Abel. So this took away the righteous seed from the earth at that time. And of course, the way Yahweh made the human body and the genes, we know from Yeshua that he had righteous genes, and we can see his bloodline, how Yahweh protected his bloodline to keep certain things out of his blood to influence him to do certain things, because there is influences in the genes, as we can see. Now, Yahweh does say that it can be overcome, but the way he created mankind to begin with, there was you could see from the scriptures, there was a 50-50 opportunity that there would be righteousness, and a 50-50 opportunity there would be evil coming from the way Yahweh created the genes to begin with. And of course, Eve was deceived and went ahead and, out of deception, sinned. Adam wasn't deceived, but he gave in to sin. So we see how both was in their genes here to begin with. One to Adam was able to resist and not be deceived. We can see that he was not deceived by Satan. So we see a difference in him and Eve in that situation. We see deception throughout the world today. So we see this same gene in mankind, where Yahweh says in Revelation 12:9, Satan has deceived the whole world. Again, I remind you that you can come out of deception strictly by obedience. And that's exactly what Romans 6:16, one of the apostles, Apostle Shaul, was telling the people, that you can overcome this. Well, that's the same thing he told Cain also. But the chance of evil and righteousness was 50-50, and of course that's what we saw in Cain and Abel. Two brothers, one was righteous, the other evil. Cain, the firstborn, was actually evil, and Abel, then, the secondborn, was actually righteous. Now, in this sin or sins came also the enmity between the people, or what Yahweh calls seed. Seed. The seed is what he describes it in many ways. One is posterity, of course. The other is the sowing of righteous teachings. That is called sowing of seed, and of course that brings forth what we see in the teachers of the Holy Scriptures, who actually had these genes, but through the sowing of righteous teachings came forth righteous behavior and repentance from sin. If you go, I think I made that plain enough, but if not, I'll try to explain it some more later. But anyway, look at chapter 3 of Genesis and verse 15. He says, "And I will put enmity between," this is after the sin took place, the deception took place here, in verses 1 through 6 and shows that this brought forth sin. And then Adam and Eve both saw that they had sinned, the scripture said. Well, sin, of course, is the breaking of Yahweh's laws, as 1 John 3:4 says. And 1 John 3:7 and 8 says, if you sin, practice sin, you belong to Satan, the devil. So that's what we see taking place here. And he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. If you look to chapter 4 and verse 7 there. Now, we see what this is, but then we see that Cain actually gave in to this enmity and killed Abel. But he says, Yahweh says to Cain here in verse 7, and he's showing this to you. These were not written just to be writing, but he's showing you what you can do in your own self if you will do mostly what Yahshua said. Yahshua just summed up many writings of the prophets, as I've been bringing forth in the sermons and also in the prophetic word writings. But verse 7 says, if you do righteousness, if you practice righteousness, you will be accepted. And if you do not do righteousness, then sin, breaking the laws, is crouching at your door, and the desire to sin is with you. If you don't practice righteousness, then you're going to develop this other gene that comes forth strong, and even gets to where it's like a brute beast, as the Apostle Kepha, I believe, described it. But you must overcome it. You must. If you want to be a part of Yahweh's kingdom, you must. Now, seed. The seed of Abraham, of course, it denotes not only those who descend from him by natural issues or birth, but those who imitate, those who would actually imitate his character, Abraham's character. And this is what Yahshua kept pointing out to his apostles, and then later they got it, and they understood it, and they even added to that. But it makes no difference of what descent. If you look over to Romans again, the Apostle Shaul's writings, in chapter 4, he points this out clearly here. And, of course, Yahweh in his law said, if someone wants to be a part of my kingdom, then let his males be circumcised, and let him keep the feast, keep the Sabbath, appointments with Yahweh. That will start the process of salvation. But in chapter 4 now of Romans, in verse 16, it says, therefore the promise comes by the faith, so that it may be given as an act of unmerited pardon, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, all of Abraham's offspring. I believe that was NIV that translated the Hebrew word in that manner, offspring, not only to those who are of the law, that is, being that have been circumcised, but also to others who share the faith of Abraham, who in this way is the father of all of us, or father of us all. Now, those who followed the law, were circumcised to begin with, or those who were not, it makes no difference. They are Abraham's seed if they imitate or pattern themselves by this same pattern that Abraham followed. Now, in this sense, this word is translated offspring in the sense that he gives right here. Offspring, seed, or figurative, Yahweh's word. Look back, keep that in mind and go back to the apostles' writing here, which the apostles, they copied both the Hebrew, prophets, and of course Yahshua himself. And then we in this time period, if you keep this in mind, we're based upon the prophets' writings, but then also Yahshua's writings and the apostles' writings, with Yahshua the chief cornerstone or head over all in this last day's time, guiding his house and guiding the work, head over what is done in this time of work, this work period. But in Acts 8 now, remember what the apostle Shaul said, that it makes no difference whether you were circumcised at birth or whether you do it later. Those who repent later, whoever you were born, whether you were Abraham's lineage or some other lineage, it makes no difference. But here in Luke now, 8, and verse 5 first, he said, a sower went out to sow his seed. Well, this, of course, is mankind. And after he sowed, some fell to the wayside, and they were trampled down, and the fowls came. He's speaking of mankind. But look on down to verse 11. Now, this is the explanation of the parable. The seed is the word of Yahweh here. And then, of course, that's what we're doing today is let's look over to 1 Kefa before we leave this subject right here, 1 Kefa 1 and verse 23. And notice what he adds here to the teachings of Yahshua, but also of the prophets. Having been the 1 Kefa 1, that's found on page 957, having been begotten not of corruptible seed, and actually speaking now of mankind's seed having corruption inside the sperm, if you want to put it that way, because that's what he is talking about here. Not of corruptible seed. And this is what we're seeing that Yahweh placed in Adam and Eve was genes, both genes, both trees there in the garden. And of course, both were introduced to Adam and Eve, and he says, choose not to follow this one. But he's saying at this now of the sowing of the seed of righteousness, which is our job, which we're doing, reaching out to the world with right now, then he says, you can beget someone again here, but not with corruptible seed, but the seed of righteousness then that we plant in the person's mind, then it starts to grow. And if the person will allow it to be fed, you know, then it will grow and become part of this, the greatest tree, which is the kingdom of heaven, of course, the greatest tree of all, as Yahshua described this tree as growing. It'd be part of that. Of course, if you refuse to let the water flow or the oil flow from the righteous source that Yahweh instituted, then you cut the life off, the righteousness off, which is the life, the eternal life. You cut that off, well, nothing can grow then but this corruptible seed that is also in the body that Yahweh says to Cain, you must overcome. Well, having been begotten, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, by the word of Yahweh, word of Yahweh, notice, you can be begotten by this word of Yahweh, which lives and remains forever. This word, hold your place right there and look back to Yochanan. You need to memorize that and Yochanan 6 and rehearse it ever so often. Yochanan 6:63. Now, remember what he said here about seed, which this word of Yahweh, you're begotten by this. That's what Yeshua was too. The only thing with his bloodline, he didn't have this corruptible seed ever enter that bloodline. This is what Yahweh guarded against all the time. I'll show you how he did it in just a moment. But here in 663 now, he says, this is the spirit. It's the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. Well, what is the spirit? The law that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And this is what he says he is impregnating in you, the word of Yahweh, and you have control over it, whether it grows or not. You can resist it, cut the water off from it, cut the flowing oil off from it, as he says, coming from the olive branch in these last days. So in this sense, the usual translation, offspring, seed, and it's a figurative for the word of Yahweh. And then sowing the seeds of righteousness brings forth then the fruits of righteousness. And this is what Yeshua was referring to here in Matthew, the 7th chapter, where he says he's warning now to beware of false prophets. And the apostles did this too, and says many have gone out into the world teaching the lies of Satan. And of course, you can point this out now to a person who's following this, and their minds are closed to it. It's like it can't get through. It's like the article that I read to you here about HIV and how it shuts off the valves, the blood flow to the brain. I also think of this marijuana and how the marijuana keeps your brain from actually using new information. And, of course, here's another. Marijuana has some of the same chemicals or same, I don't like to call it chemicals, but it's not because it's not chemicals, but it's ingredients. It has some of the same ingredients that pork has in it. And if you'll look up these things, and they have a study now on pork that shows the different things that they use from the body of the pork. And this is really interesting. Because they should even show the map and where they find it, where you can find this particular thing on the pork. If you want to take a knife and cut it out and eat it, you know, you can get it direct from that way. Or you can just eat the whole thing and get all of it, you know, like the whole hog sausage. The whole hog. So you can get your marijuana here. You can get your HIV and everything, seeing this one whole hog sausage that they put out. Of course, the Savior warns you against this here, and he says in verse 13, he says, enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who go that way, he said. So, of course, he's speaking of the way of the world right now, and they have no solutions for it. They do. They have a solution. Yes, I take that back. They got a nuclear bomb, and it's waiting. That's their last solution that they hope will get rid of it all. He says, because verse 14, because straight is this gate, and narrow is this way that leads to life, and few there be that will humble themselves as a little child and go in that manner. And then he talks in verse 15 here. He says, beware of false prophets. Well, as we just saw now, and remember this, the teaching, if you open your mind to it, then you're taking it in. And as the teaching of righteousness, where Yahweh says, go to the place that I choose, and I'll show you this in prophecy, he said, in prophecy, which he did starting in Genesis with the Savior and also with the last day's house of Yahweh, the branch that the donkeys are tied to in these last days. He starts in Genesis giving you these prophecies, showing you this tree, but also this other tree here that leads to destruction. And he says, beware of the false prophets, because they're going to teach you, but they're like ravenous wolves. Well, we can see the picture right here now in the schools of America, how they are like brute beast, as the apostles put it. They're like brute beast who they only know how to kill, to ravage. Now, this was also given to you in Genesis with the 12 tribes and the genes they would carry in the last days. Remember? And of course, praise Yahweh. And of course, it showed one tribe there that imitated and has always imitated the Catholic Church right down to the present day here. But ravenous wolves, you will know them by their fruits, of course. Now, if it's bringing forth bitterness and hatred, this countenance that was on the face, that shows in the face of Cain, if it's bringing forth that's not a righteous fruit there that is coming forth. And of course, the teachings of Yahweh shows you how to get rid of that. Humble yourself as a little child. This is the Savior being the chief cornerstone or the chief teacher of the house of Yahweh. And that's the only way you can do it. You can't hold on to your bitter, rebellious attitudes, because you shut the valves down from the flow of the olive oil that comes from the branch. Now, all of this you should understand now, the Bible or the book of Yahweh language. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather the grapes from thorns, or figs from thistles? You can't gather righteousness if a person is teaching against the laws of Yahweh. You can't get any righteousness from that. You can only get righteousness if righteousness is taught. And righteousness is the keeping of Yahweh's laws, with Yahshua being your chief instructor. Now, we're facing, of course, in these last days, different circumstances than any other group in history has ever faced. We're coming here to the bitter end of what Yahweh shows as the bitter end of man's governments, of the kings of the East, that started with the rejection of Yahweh's laws. That's where they started to begin with. And he says, then in our lifetime, you know, we have not only the strong pull of the propaganda that's put out, and it's put out daily now. Daily preaching comes forth from your television set. If you don't watch anything but the news on the television set, you will get this teaching. You'll get this teaching loud and clear if you'll just pay attention to what they're showing you. If they got the house of Yahweh to talk about, they will run the house of Yahweh down extremely. And then right behind it, they'll come and show ACU with this dancing basketball girls and boys, and how what a great time they're having, and they'll make them look righteous in doing this. It makes them look like they're really having joy, and they're just really righteous people that have no problems in their life. Well, if you listen to the rest of the news, you know that their life is filled with problems of all kinds, and many of them are like brute beasts already. The others are becoming that way. Their bail system is crumbling right now, and they're saying, I hate those people, because those brown people, those black people that's taking our jobs. They didn't have any jobs to begin with. You know, and the jobs that these brown people are having in Arizona that they want so bad, you couldn't hire them people to go out and do those jobs to begin with. I remember in Texas when This is years ago, of course, but they wanted the cheap labor from Mexico. And of course, they welcomed this. And these people, they treated them so cruelly as worse than the slaves of the South. But they had no restrooms. The men and women worked in the same fields. So you can imagine what went on there. They were treated worse than this. They were used in every way. But they did it. They came and worked for almost nothing. And some of them tried to take what little they'd promised them away from them. But they would work in the fields. They would eat the vegetables as they worked. They became healthier than the rich farmers who ate delicate foods from the grocery stores, and they were hard laborers. They could labor all day and then play half of the night, but because of the way they had to live off of the land, and their meager wage would not take them to the grocery store to buy hardly anything. But they welcomed those people. They begged them to come, like the Statue of Liberty begs all people to come. But they need to change the arms and the saying on this thing now. They need to close a closed fist like this, or a gun in the hand. I think we need to paint that on the prophetic word. Put a gun in one hand and a bomb in the other and say, "Stay away from my land." You know? Like the brute beast that put a hot pig's head on it, you know. with this Queen of Heaven's crown that goes across the top of a pig's head. And you'll get they'll get the picture then, because that's what it's come to. But Yeshua is warning you of this and how easy it is to partake of this and let this start growing in your body, this deception that I've been harping on now I've been trumpeting on now for several months or weeks. But he says, likewise, every righteous tree brings forth this fruit of righteousness. Did you know we're the only people on the face of the earth that's keeping Yahweh's appointments that he set in the beginning? That's the righteousness that we're bringing forth. The people who don't keep those appointments are bringing forth iniquity. Iniquity is what the kings of the East brought forth. They rejected Yahweh's laws. And, of course, that is iniquity. Well, he says, likewise, every righteous tree brings forth this righteous fruit, but a tree of evil brings forth this iniquity. Well, this is the tree, of course, that Eve was deceived into taking. Then Adam was coaxed by his wife, so he said, "Yeah, I'll go ahead and partake of it too." The dumb cluck. He repented later. As we'll see. I'll show you in Scripture where the man repented. But Yeshua says a righteous tree cannot bring forth fruit of iniquity. Did you get that? A righteous tree. Now he prophesies of a righteous tree in these last days. The prophets actually do this, and he says, "I'll have no other work but this, and this is it, and it's going to bring forth the perfection of Yahweh to all the world," he says. Two branches. Nor can a tree of evil bring forth fruits of righteousness. So this should tell you, brethren, if they're not in the prophesied house of Yahweh, they can't bring righteousness to you in any way. It may look right for the time being before you find the truth, if Yahweh wakes you up to see the truth, but if your mind is already shut off, if the vowels are shut off, with any of these manners that I've just named, you won't be able to accept it even when it's pointed out to you. And I am pointing it out to you day after day. Every tree which does not bring forth righteous fruit, notice what is going to occur to you if you let that vowel be shut off. From the one cent, the branch that brings forth this golden oil to you, Now, if you shut it off and you don't accept it, like the humble child, then that's you deciding. It's not me, because I'm begging you to take this, telling you it is of Yahweh. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Well, of course, their fruits show, and Yahshua even shows in verse 23, he's going to say to them when they brag, saying, oh, we taught in your places, you know, we did all this stuff for you. We cast out demons, we healed the sick, we gave turkeys out on Thanksgiving and rotten eggs out on Easter and and lies out throughout the year. Let's go back here to Yeremia now. Yeremia, the 31. Yeremia 31. With all of this in mind now. Yeremia 31. And notice verse 27. 31 verse 27. He says, behold, the days come. That is, when he wrote this, it's like he was saying, behold, now days that are coming, and what you're going to see in the days that are coming, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Yada with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. Would you have understood that if I hadn't have brought all the other? Nobody ever has. But this is Yahweh's doing. That is, he allows this. Now, he just got through, you know, screaming at them before this, telling them how bad they were. Of course, they'd probably been eating pork. They'd probably been drinking blood from the unkosher meats. There's probably over at Sam's eating a stupid burger or a hot dog, you know, and not knowing what they were taking into their bodies by breaking these laws. There's probably out in the world at some church, and they say, oh, no, this is kosher food, not knowing what kosher is. So they had their valves half shut off, you know, already, and Yeremia was trying to deal with them and saying, you're bringing all this stuff on yourself. And oh, no, we got plenty of wealth. That's all they could think about was wealth, wealth. You know, you know, if you think about what I grew up with and what was in Galilee in Israel, it was almost the same thing there. When I told you the story about the people helping each other, you know, we had what we call blacksmiths. This was before electricity got started in a big way, we had people who had what they called a blacksmith shop that could just about produce anything you wanted done. Well, of course, in Galilee now, or in the Garden of Yahweh, Yahweh had the same thing. They had tools to work with. Well, how did they get tools to work with? He gave certain people skills, he said, to do certain things. One was a blacksmith, a person who was interested in that particular job could go to that man and work for that man and learn that trade. Well, there was all kinds of trades, you know. There was some that could take sheep's wool and make thread out of it. There was, somebody told me this the other day that they knew how to do this. Bring me some sheep's wool and I'll show you, they said. And of course, you could make clothing and quilts and everything out. But each one was a trade, and that's what I want you to understand. Some people made shoes. Some people made socks to wear. Some people made shirts and pants, hats, and of course, each one of these was a trade. Well, now you have Mr. Own-It-All that has a manufacturing plant that puts out the whole wagon. But he brings in all the money to him, And he has it so controlled that he has you working for him on the Sabbath day to keep you from learning anything from the Scripture. And this is the way the world has changed, from everybody helping each other and doing their trade in Israel now, in the kibbutz at this time. They have a kibbutz that you don't have to buy. You don't have to have any money to get into it. You go there and you sign a thing. You say, I came with nothing, and when I leave here, if I leave here, I'll leave with nothing. They have the moshav where you can actually buy in, and then if you ever want to leave, the co-op will sell your place to someone else, and they'll move right in after you move out and start running the dairy or the chicken farm or whatever it is they're running. But with the garden of Yahweh, if a person was interested in chickens, he could raise all of our eggs, or at least a big part of the people around there, and he could, and a person who wanted to garden, he could bring his extra crop to a store there, and he could actually put it out for sale. All of these things were available, but it was each individual trade that a person could learn, and no one was without a job. Everyone had a job, and they could work, get their job done, and they could rest. That's the way it was, and it's a big difference in it and the big manufacturers today, where you all live in a city and you all go to work for that one manufacturer, and he tells you what days to work on, what holidays you can get off. Well, look, I don't want to take off on Christmas. Could I work on Christmas and then maybe keep Yahweh's feast? No, man, you're fired if you try that. Can I take off on the Sabbath? Please let me take off on the Sabbath. No. No, we give Sunday off, boy. And it will come to pass that just as I have, now he's putting within man now. He's allowing to go into man, the seed of man, and with the seed of beast. He's going to mix it, or let it be mixed in their brain. And it will come to pass that just as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant. To plant, says Yahweh, as Yahshua was talking about sowing the seed. Now, a lot of this is future. In those days, they will no longer say the father has eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge, but everyone will die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grape, his own teeth will be set on edge. Behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will renew my covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yada. Well, that time has come. We're at that time right now. And this covenant is now being, this seed of Yahweh is now being sowed. This covenant, which I made with their forefathers, when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, will not be replaced, which covenant they broke, although I was a father to them, says Yahweh. For this covenant is the same covenant that I will renew with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their father, and they will be my people. Well, that is started. If you hold your place right there and look over to Hebrews 10, and you will see that this takes place under Yahshua. Not under the apostles now, but this is the last days, and it actually takes place when Yahshua is high priest, verse 21, Hebrews 10, verse 21. This takes place at this time when he is high priest over the house of Yahweh. Look back up to verse 16. This is the covenant that I will renew with them after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And the apostle there is still speaking future tense, the same way as Jeremiah is in this spot right here. We want to go to verse 33. That's further enough. Now let's go back to Genesis again, Genesis 3, and let me cover something else real quickly, but I know I'm out of time, but let's cover something else here really quickly before we stop. In Genesis 3, and notice verse 15 again here, 3:15. He says, and I will put enmity between your seed and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head. This seed, the enmity. If you go over to Galatians now, Galatians, that's found on 9:12, I think, or 13. Galatians 3 and notice verse 29 first. Galatians 3 and verse 29. And if you are as the Messiah, then you are a seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. If you are as the Messiah. If you disagree with him, you're not going to be as him. You're not going to be made in his image or after his likeness, nor Yahweh's. Now look back up to verse 26. For you all are sons of Yahweh through the faith, as Yahshua Messiah is a son of Yahweh. Now turn on over to Revelations before we go back to Genesis again. Turn over to Revelations 12 here. Revelations 12. And look here to verse 13. Because you see the seed here in action now, and Satan with her enmity trying to kill them. In Revelations 12 and verse 13, and when the dragon saw that she was cast unto the earth, she persecuted the woman which brought forth this man. Now, I've brought this information to you here before. When the persecution started, that's when Yahweh started his work to spreading throughout the earth and opened a door where we would teach the people and witness to them. In fact, this house is full of pictures right now of the leaders of the world that we witness to. But you can see the hatred here that is coming forth right now. Someone told me the other day that a business person called them, and they said, "Do you know that man that you worked for?" And he and the man said, "Yeah, I know him really well." They said, "Did you know that he's a heretic?" And the man said, "Yeah, in fact, the apostle said that what you call heretic is the way I worship." and of course, he started pointing out some scriptures to them, and they said, "Well, you know, that does make sense what you're saying." Well, see, that's the spreading or sowing of the seed. And that person now, they have that seed sown to them. Now, whether they shut it off or not, let's go back to Genesis 3. Let's go to Genesis 4 now. Genesis 4, notice verse 25 here. Genesis 4 and verse 25. Remember, Cain killed Abel. Cain killed Abel. That was the first righteous priest. First righteous priest was cut off without a successor. And of course, the same as Yeshua, Abel. Abel was cut off, but Abel continued even though he was cut off. Here in verse 25, we see this, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth, for she said, "For Yahweh has appointed another seed for me in the place of Abel." In the place of Abel. He takes the place of Abel. Seth does. Now, Seth, of course, is like so many of the prophets. He lived a quiet life, but he lived a righteous life, a very, very righteous life. Not much is said about him, except he took the place of Abel. And that should be enough for you to know, because Abel, you know what Abel was, so you know what Seth was, and know that he took the place of Abel. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and his name was Enosh. It was then, notice, it was then that the name of Yahweh began to be invoked again. Seth, of course, he's the third son of Adam and Eve, and father of Enosh when he was 105 years old, and he died at the age of 912. So he lived a pretty old age there, and he's had more children. Look at chapter 5 here now, and notice verse 3. You'll see that Adam fathered Seth there, the third son. And then you look on down to verse 6, you'll see that Seth begot Enosh. Then verse 9, you see that Quinon, coming from the same bloodline, and then Methuselah, and then in verse 15, Yared, and then in 18, Enoch. Then Enoch, we'll go on down to 29, Noah. So you see this righteous seed that Yahweh was guarding here. If you turn over to Luke now, turn over to Luke, the third chapter, you'll see this again, of course. And this is what makes it great, the third chapter of Luke, because you see the Savior here in the same bloodline that he was guarding to keep from taking place what took place in Cain. And he knew that he had to guard this really well. In Luke 3, and I think I didn't mark it, but we'll find it here. Yeah, verse 38. Who was the son of Enosh? Who was the son of Seth? Who was the son of Adam? And of course, if you trace this all the way back, you go back, of course, to Eli, showing the descendants here. Verse 23, Yahshua himself, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son of Yosef, who was the son-in-law of Eli. And then he starts giving the ancestors there of Yahshua. Let's go back to Genesis again. We're going to quit here in just a little bit. But Genesis 5, and remember what you read there in verse 3, and go to verse 8. So all the days of Seth were 912, and he died. Now, there's the significance of the name here. As it's pointed out, it actually means seedling or germ. Now, that, of course, is what Adam and Eve were created with. Now, Enoch, if you go to chapter 5 and verse 6 through 29, it gives you the ancestors there. And then Genesis 4 and verse 26, you will see that this bloodline then here began to call with the name of Yahweh. And the wording there is a little bit different. It actually says, then begin men to call themselves by the name of Yahweh. And the authorities say this was to distinguish themselves from those who were already idolaters and were termed children of men. Praise Yahweh. Well, you can see from all of this now that Yahweh is guarding this, brought it down, of course, to Yahshua, how Abel didn't actually, he died, but his work didn't die. Seth continued it, Enosh continued it, and then it shows you how it was continued in each generation, each person that Yahweh was guarding there. Well, if you trace those people out now and their histories, of course, you come down to the Savior and then 12 apostles that came from that same bloodline there where we have our work today. We are, the foundation that we carry is of the prophets and the apostles, with Yahshua being our king, high priest and king, or chief cornerstone of this building, saying, this is the way this building is going to do. I know your works. I know your works. And just hang on to what you got, he says, and you're going to make it. May Yahweh bless you, brethren. I love you.